Hi, I'm Reverend Norm Seelye. Welcome to a Jubilee Sunday Worship Podcast. What you are about to hear is this week's Sunday service edited to fit an all audio experience. There may still be a few longer pauses than ideal, but I've done my best to keep the scripture, sermon, and the best of our great music. After the sermon, there is typically a silence for prayer, and that moves into music. Thank you to Drew Winters for our theme music, and thank you to Dr. Daniel Rubinoff, our musical director at Jubilee United Church, and also the lead voices of Sharon Christmas LaFleur, Marie Crucioni, Dylan Hillier, and Mike Thomas. And thanks to all the volunteers who read and share their gifts in our services. Music in these services is covered by one license, A733652. You can support Jubilee United Church through the Canada Helps website, www.canadahelps.ca. Just search Jubilee United Church. And there's also a link on the Jubilee website. You can also access a full video of this service on our website, www.jubileeunited.ca, or even on my YouTube channel, Norm Seelye. And now, without further ado, welcome to worship. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, we hear that the prophet Isaiah said, "Hear then, O house of David. Is it too little for you to weary mortals that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel." That's what the prophet said long, long ago. And today, if we're honest, we do weary mortals. We do not trust each other. We complain about each other. We blame each other. We point fingers. We separate. We divide. We spend less and less time marveling at the wonders of life and more time complaining to each other how things aren't, well, the way we expected them to be. We push ourselves. We shove others. We weary mortals. But do we bother to weary God anymore? Do we take our hopes and concerns, our struggles and our celebrations to God? Or do we live as if the divine is distant and increasingly irrelevant? In the time of Isaiah, God promised to give the people a sign that God was listening. A child who would be named Emmanuel, which means God is with us. We have come to know that child as Jesus. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. God who comes to be home with humanity. And that's Christmas, that God has come to call humanity home. But sometimes it seems that amidst the presence and the worry, we've forgotten the baby. Baby Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And so we gather to reclaim the baby. We connect to live in the knowledge that God is with us. We are together not to weary one another, but to share and to love, knowing that we are not alone. Emmanuel, God is with us. Some call that Christmas. We call it worship. So welcome to worship with Jubilee.
Matthew 1, verses 18 to 25. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said,
"Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins."
All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus.
Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 1 to 7, read by Judy Wells.
"In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged, and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in bands of cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn."
Thank you. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20, read by Judy Wells.
In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph, and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them.
Let us pray. Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your eyes. And God, may I never lightly presume to preach your word, and may we never lightly presume to hear your word, for in your word is hope, Christmas, and abundant life. Amen. So, it's the day before Christmas. Can you believe it? The end of Advent, that time of preparing. We should be ready, right? And we've heard stories and backstories about John the Baptist and about Mary. We've heard all about the baby yet to be born, and even stories about what'll happen when the baby grows. And if you've been paying attention carefully through Advent, you'll know that we've gone from, well, like from the beginning of all time as we know it, to the end of the age in which we are currently living. We did that in Advent 1. So that's a lot of ground that we've covered in just 4 weeks. If you were with us last week, you'll know that last week I tried out for the role of Mary. Because Mary is such a great character and an inspiration, and I just want a chance to be like Mary. That was last week. And you have to wonder, why wouldn't I have tried out for the role of Joseph? I mean, I'm kind of suited, right? It would have been an easier audition. We both have beards, apparently. I'm a stepdad too, just like Joe. It just never occurred to me. Hey, when you think about him, he's kind of lackluster, you know? I mean, have you sung about him in any carols lately? Mary shows up in, Silent Night, O Little Town of Bethlehem, Angels We Have Heard on High, Angels from the Realms of Glory, She Walks in Summer, What Child Is This? The Virgin Mary had a baby boy. Gentle Mary laid her child. I mean, seriously, I could go on for a very long time. But Joseph? You know what? in our hymn book, yeah, this one, he gets one mention in Angels We Have Heard on High. Yeah, that's it. This whole book, one mention. See him in a manger laid, whom the choirs of angels praise. Mary, Joseph, lend your aid, while in love our hearts we raise. Never mind. That's it. In a collection of over 700 hymns, he gets one line in one hymn. Mary? Mary gets at least 30. You know, in over 30 years of ministry, I can recall one carol that belongs to Joseph alone. It's called When Joseph Went to Bethlehem, right? You know it. You probably sing it all the time. When Joseph went to Bethlehem, I think he took great care to place his tools and close his shop and leave no shavings there. He urged the donkey forward, then with Mary on its back, and carried bread and goat cheese in a little linen sack. God. He carried bread and goat cheese. I mean, come on. Mary gets the Magnificat. My soul doth magnify the Lord. Joseph carries lunch. Years ago, you know, I lost the Joseph figure from our family nativity scene. So I replaced him with a shepherd. Nobody noticed. That's our Joseph. No respect. Mary is often called Notre Dame, Our Lady. You ever called Joseph our man? No. Mary is often called the Mother of God. But Joseph, he's not the father of God. I mean, Mary is in fact the mother of Jesus, and Joseph, well, he's not exactly the father of Jesus, is he? So here's the way it worked. Joseph was engaged to a woman named Mary. Now, back then, engagement was a very formal, proper, legal thing. You did not get engaged and then surprise everybody with the news. No, you planned it out. It was a serious business, and it could be broken only by going to the courts. You can't just end an engagement. You actually had to properly, legally end an engagement. In effect, it was the same as marriage, and it was just as binding in nature. So Joseph was engaged. Might have been engaged for a couple years. We don't really know, because engagements back then lasted a long time. Right, two families came together, signed the papers, and then when the young people became of age, then they married. So Joseph is engaged to Mary, but then discovers that she's pregnant. Oh, man. So what's he going to do? I mean, Joseph's fiancée is pregnant. And Joseph's a good man. He's a righteous man. He wants to do the right thing. So what is the right thing? What is the right thing in that moment? I mean, here's a carpenter in the community engaged to a woman named Mary, and it will soon be evident that she's pregnant. What is Joseph supposed to do? Well, there are two obvious options available to Joseph. I think the first is that he could just get the opinion of everybody in town, right? It's what a bunch of us would do. You know, you go to a coffee shop and you say, hey, listen, what do you think I ought to do? You get on the phone, you take your problem to work, you talk about it over coffee, you put it on Facebook, you tweet it, right? At Joe, OMG, did you hear about Mary? What to do? Hashtag invasive angel. But not Joseph. He won't go that way. He won't risk disgracing Mary. He won't expose her. He won't open her to public scrutiny and tongue wagging. No. He will not humiliate her. And not just because he loves her, but because you don't humiliate people. So what's he going to do? Well, he has some friends, who are fresh from the synagogue, and they say, well, it's obvious, Joe. Just do what the Bible says. Can't go wrong if you follow Scripture. Okay. So what about that for an answer? I've heard it many times in my life. Just do what the Bible says, Norm. I say it myself. When in doubt, check the Bible. So it's pretty good advice for Joseph. So now, let me tell you what it says. I wrote it down. Deuteronomy 22, quote, she is to be taken out and stoned to death in front of the people. That's what the text says. Quote, if a man finds something displeasing in his wife, let him give her a divorce and send her out of the house. That's what it says. It's in Scripture. It's in the book. Joseph is a good man. He wants to do the right thing. But you know what? Joseph is also a man somewhat ahead of his time. It would take another 2,000 years and several years of seminary for me to get it. But here's what I finally get. Joseph knows his Scripture. He knows his Bible. He loves it. He relies on it. And good for him. But even more than that, Joseph knows God. He loves God. He relies on God. And he reads his Bible in the knowledge of God. And the thing is, he knows that God is loving and kind. So he reads the Bible as a document of love and kindness. Therefore, before he reads a single word of Scripture, before he even thinks about looking at the text, he says, I will not harm her. I will not abuse her. I will not expose her. I will not shame her or ridicule her or demean her value, her dignity, or her worth. I will stand with her. I will protect her. Well, where does it say that in the Bible, Joseph? Like, where'd you pick that up? Well, it might be in the text. It might not be in the text, but it's very clearly stated in the nature and the character of God. Joseph knows that. In fact, sometimes I think Joseph is the first person in the Gospels who actually knows how to read the Bible. And like Joseph, we are meant to read Scripture with the understanding that God is life-giving, that God is loving and creative. God does not demean or humiliate. So if in reading the Bible you can find justification for abusing or humiliating, disgracing, harming, or hurting, especially when it makes you feel better about yourself, then you're reading it incorrectly. In short, you're wrong. It's that simple. The Bible is to be read in the light of the character of God, the one who loves us like no other. And it never ceases to amaze me how petty and small people can make God, just fit God into their biases and their prejudices and feed their angers and their resentments. How they can make God cruel and mean. But not Joseph. Joseph won't do that. He won't be cruel and mean. He won't look for a text that gives him vengeance. And because of that, I know that as soon as I meet Joseph, Christmas is upon us. I begin to get it. Before the baby's born, before the labor begins, before there's a star in the sky, God has already broken in and changed the world because of Joseph. Through an angel, God said to Joseph in a dream, I want you to marry Mary. Go ahead. I want you to marry her. And I want you to be a partner to her. I have chosen you to help her raise her boy. And Joseph does. He does exactly that. God said, Joseph, I want you to help raise the baby. You feed the baby. You care for the mother. You care for the baby. And Joseph does. Even when the world says, why should you? Not yours. Even when the Bible says, no way, you're not supposed to do that. Joseph does it. Earlier in the service, we heard some words from the prophet Isaiah. Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary mortals that you weary my God also? I love those words. Times were tough. It's true. And the people were complaining. In fact, they were complaining a lot, which sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel. Of course, we read that as a prophecy about Jesus. Yeah, that's what we do. We sing it. We recognize it. Emmanuel, God is with us. Right, we get it. But others can hear the wisdom and recognize the word of God without hearing this as a prophecy about Jesus. Do we dare to try that? Think about it without meaning Jesus. To paraphrase the prophet, I know that things are bad, and I hear you complaining, but a young woman is with child, and that child will be God's presence. Because you see, God is coming to you in a new way. God is coming to you in newness. God's actions will be unlike anything you've ever seen before. Like a child that you've never met, hasn't been born, you won't recognize. The child is new. The mother is new. Your hope, your salvation does not lie in the old ways, but will arrive in new ways. So God's action will be new. God's presence will probably be unfamiliar. But what else? What else is there about a child? Well, a child requires our nurture, our protection, our understanding, and our love. We're being told by the prophet that God's action will not be a lightning bolt that we see in the sky and sit back and watch it strike, watch it do its thing. No, God's presence, God's action will require our participation, or it will never reach its maturity. It'll never come to its full potential. It's a baby. You can't ignore a baby. You have to participate. You have to help. And Joseph gets that. He understands Scripture, written in and meant to be heard in the context of love. And so Joseph will participate by investing himself in God's love. He will dare to nurture a new thing. He will love and care for this new child. Yeah. Christmas starts for me the moment that I hear about Joseph. Because I know that when Jesus is born, the man who will teach him and raise him and care for him, the one who will show him how to be a carpenter and take him to the synagogue, teach him his holy scriptures, the one who will teach him his lessons, is a good man. And he will do it right. He will do what is right. Maybe I should have auditioned for the role of Joseph all along. Because you know what? When you have somebody like that, somebody like Joseph, well, then it's already Christmas. Hope is real. God is already in our midst. And Christmas will last as long as God can find people in every community who will dare to care. Even when the world says, why would you do that? Dare to read the Bible in the light of love and dare to live out of that same love. I guess the question for you and me today on this day before Christmas comes, The question, I suppose, is whether or not any of us are willing to be one of those people. Joseph. We may not get any carols written about us, but perhaps if we dare, if we try, perhaps we will experience the power and the truth of Christmas as we support and make safe those who feel threatened, afraid, and marginalized by the world, as we nurture, as we patiently love, as we give hope where the old ways have failed, as we, like Mary and Joseph both, actually change the world. It's entirely up to us. It's entirely up to you. How will you live Christmas this year? Try being like Joseph. Thanks be to God. Let us pray.
May the sounds of Advent stir a longing in your people, O God. Come again to set us free from the dullness of routine and the poverty of our imaginations. Break the patterns which bind us to small commitments and to the stale answers we have given to questions of no importance. Let the Advent trumpet blow. Let the walls of our defenses crumble. And make a place in our lives for the freshness of your love. Well lived in the Spirit. And still given to all who know their need. Dare receive it. Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Go forth from this moment and into Christmas, that moment when we recognize God's presence in the world. God's presence that comes in such a way that we are invited to care, to nurture, to participate. So participate. And know that that a loving God is in the world. Know that God the Creator is with you. Know that Jesus is born not just in Bethlehem, but in your heart. And that love is yours to share. Go forth from this moment and know that the Holy Spirit absolutely surrounds and fills you and makes it possible for you to share that love. You are ready for Christmas. So go. Go from this moment and know that you are not alone. Until we gather again. Amen.